All right, hey, this is going to be a real treat. We're joined by John Reed. You know him, Talk Sports, Fox Sports Knoxville, and the Reed's Ranch Podcast. How's it going, John?
I'm going well. It's doing good. I'm nervous, I guess. You're big time now, Mike. We've been talking for a while, and I love the intro there, the video. Love the backdrop there. I'm nervous. I'm next to a celebrity now. This is good.
Well, I don't know about that, but I've been dying to have you on because of, I mean, we could just spend the whole thing on this because I know, I can only imagine, you know, the texts, the phone calls, the DMs, everything that you're getting blown up for. This is really why I wanted to have you on. When is the next, the world's greatest podcast in America coming out? Because I mean, it's been since January and I'm dying here. It's my favorite show with you and, Cody McClure. OGs of that SEC podcast know very well who that is, but are we ever getting another one?
You know, many people ask, and every day I see the guy for 3 hours. We do radio, so it is tough to do the radio and the podcast separately because we're around each other so much now that we can't really get too many stories that the other one doesn't already know. But every day I'll be like, hey, you want to do a podcast? He's like, yeah, we need to. And then I go to lunch or he's got something come up and it just never works out. But this week might be the week. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see. That's what I tell everybody that asks. Like, yeah, we're going to try. Maybe tomorrow. So maybe tomorrow.
Believe me, I know the feeling. That's why he's no longer with me on the show.
Shout out to Cody McClure, though.
He's fantastic. And I love the fact that the last episode is titled Cody's Micro. But all right, so no, seriously, Nico, did you see any of this coming? I mean, there's been some people saying, well, hell, this is behind the scenes. This was been brewing for a while, but I never thought it would got to this point, especially after I could have saw him leaving in December when all that bubbled up, but I thought they had put this all to bed.
It's one of my least favorite things in sports whenever something actually happens. And then everyone wants to rush to tell you, oh, yeah, we should have seen this coming. Oh, yeah, we knew about this for a while. Like, I hate it. It happens in Knoxville a lot, especially like, you know, I just go back to the Butch Jones PTSD. But after he left, you had so many people coming out. Oh, yeah, you should have seen this coming. Listen to this story about listen to him. He's a jerk. And listen, he was in over his head and he was doing this. He was doing that. I'm like, well, why don't you say something and help us get him fired? And I kind of feel the same way about this Nico situation. So many reporters and people close to the program are like, yeah, you know, this was a real red flag last year when he was skipping TV productions. And I'm like, well, where was that at in the reports? Why did people cover up for him? And, you know, it's a rhetorical question. You know why it gets covered up. But to answer your original question, you know, if we saw it coming, no. And, you know, I definitely don't think the Iamaliava camp saw it coming. I think this might be the first time and their run where they've been told no, you know, even going back to, you know, his freshman year of high school and being the number one volleyball player in the country, I imagine they've had a lot of power throughout the years. So I don't think they kind of saw Tennessee calling their bluff, but just like you know, you heard the rumblings in December and January that, hey, some assurances needed to be made, maybe so much that it wasn't even about the money. And I think Front Office Sports just put something out that was like, hey, This has been brewing because their camp made demands that Tennessee needed a better offensive line and better receivers. And you're like, okay, so they're at least using a little leverage here to hold Tennessee to the fire. But once you made it through January, I think everyone thought, okay, like you're good to go at least for another year. I got to say, it was kind of shocking to see how quickly it unraveled last week, you know, over really a 2-day period. I did not see that coming.
Are there any updates on who Tennessee may be eyeing? And I want to shout out the insider you guys use over at Talk Sports, Mike Hogener.
Yeah, shout out to Mike Hogener. He had Avery Johnson from Kansas State coming, or at least entering the transfer portal. But no, I mean, that's kind of what the game has been, Mike, is every Big 12 quarterback has been linked to Tennessee, at least by, like, Tennessee fans. You know what I mean? Like, yesterday, the Jets, a Tennessee booster's jet was in Tampa, which, you know, that's the beach. No real surprise that rich people would want to fly from Tennessee to Tampa to do something. But people are connecting the dots of, oh, no, that means the Iowa State quarterback, he's from Tampa. They're down there recruiting him right now. They're sending the jet. And, you know, Sawyer Robertson from Baylor, or is it Josh Hall from TCU? Like, all those people have been linked to Tennessee, but nobody concrete. Have you heard anything? I mean, you're connected on this stuff too. Like, is there a name that you think Tennessee should be looking out for?
I think the timing of this is a disaster, obviously, for Nico. We can get to that in a second. But I think it's a disaster for Tennessee, too, because the situation now is ideal. You could come in here. You could potentially start. I think anybody they get that has started a bunch, I think they would be, probably wouldn't walk in as the starter, but I think they would earn it rather quickly. But having to learn a new offense, having to win over a teammates that just got scorned by another, you know, let's call it what it is, you know, a money grab quarterback, if you will. I think that's too difficult of a spot for an elite quarterback to walk into. I think they're going to have to go down the, you know, someone that is either inexperienced but talented, or talented but is like lost his job. So no, I have not heard anything concrete. I think I don't know how attractive this is going to be for a free agent quarterback. I really don't.
No, and I mean, like, it's an all-time back fumble by the Iamaleava Avakamp, but like, it's not great for Tennessee either. That's been the only thing I'll be a little critical of when it comes to Josh Heupel and the staff. And when I say the staff, I mean the collective, I mean the coaches, I mean everybody involved with Tennessee. And look, I don't think there's much more Josh Heupel could have done. Like, everything I've ever been told is that he loved Nico. You know, really, you know, you recruit somebody from a high, you know, from their sophomore, junior year of high school, you develop relationships, you know, you have him here. And Heupel and Nico had a real connection in terms of, you know, I don't want to say father-son, but you know what I mean, like mentor-mentee type of thing. But the only thing I'll criticize Heupel for is, if it's true that the camp was making big demands in December, if it's true that, you know, they were threatening a holdout before the college football playoff, if all that stuff's true, you probably should have just cut bait, or at least had a better plan in place. Like, you should have been maybe not as flat-footed. Now, I understand you hope that all this just works out, and like, hey, none of this ever comes out, Nico's our starting quarterback. But the warning signs were there, Mike. I always tell these young interns I have here, these young college kids, I try to give them life lessons. And I took this Nico situation. I said, listen, this is a sign. Do not ignore red flags in your life when you're dating, when you're looking at jobs, when you're looking at any type of relationship, any friendship, because now to hear it, you know, the red flags have been there since, you know, October, when he's skipping, or he's using the bye week to go to UCLA to watch a football game. I think it was UCLA, Oregon. He was watching on the bye week. Maybe that's not the exact game, but you know what I'm saying. Like, that's a red flag. Then he comes out against Arkansas, lays an egg. That's a red flag. The team, you know, the Iamaleava camp demanding things, kind of a red flag. The practices in the spring that he was allegedly sitting out of, a red flag. All of that stuff were warning signs, and Tennessee does seem flat-footed and kind of caught here, you know, without a real plan. And it's understandable, but it's still frustrating. And you talk about the timing, and the timing's just brutal. And I've tried to warn some of our freaks that listen to Talk Sport. Shout out to them, 7 to 10 a.m. every morning here on Fan Run Radio. But I'm like, hey, let's not do too big of a victory lap in terms of talking about our moral high stance, our moral high ground with the transfer portal, and how we want players that only want to be at Tennessee, because we're going to have to go try to find a quarterback that's essentially going to have to do to his team exactly what everybody is burying Nico for doing to his team. It's going to be a quarterback that's leaving his guys in the spring to most assuredly take more money. Now, you could argue it's a better position, it's a better program. I don't want to get into that of like, hey, you'd rather be the Tennessee quarterback versus the TCU quarterback, whatever. That's irrelevant. But like, You're leaving your team in the spring. You're selling out for money, and you're a hired gun. That's what we were really asking a guy to do. Now, also, Mike, think about how poorly Nico's been treated nationally. Now, you know, his daddy, his team made it worse, and he's kind of been the NIL poster boy the entire time. You know, going back to his high school recruitment when he was the $8 million man. So I think he's an easy target. But if I was a quarterback at Baylor or TCU or Kansas State or Kansas or wherever, and I saw all the hell Nico was getting, do you really want to sign up for that? do you really want to go and like just go sell out and go somewhere where you're competing for a starting job and you got 3.5 months to, like you said, win over the fan base, win over your teammates, learn the playbook, move, get acclimated as a 20, 21, 22 year old? Like that's a tough ask. And I think we've seen how tough it is for Nico to find a team, but I also think Tennessee will struggle to find a good quarterback because of those same reasons.
Yeah. And you talk about the fans. I really wanted to ask you what is the pulse of the fan? I know, you know, it's fan run radio. So I thought it was funny. I think it was this morning. It was this morning or yesterday. You guys were joking. Hell, it was a week or two ago. We were ripping people for not having Nico in their top 10. And now we're like, yeah, he didn't belong here anyway.
Just for the record, I am not one of those guys. I wanted Nico to stay. I had a lot of Nico stock. I've defended him. Do I think he was perfect last year? No, of course not. He left a lot of plays on the field. But also, I was like, hey, that's growing pains for a first-year starter. Like, the idea was like, hey, he's got the 5-star ceiling. You hope he can get better each year. So, like, I think much like Josh Heupel, my preference would be, like, we just kind of work this out, and you were able to figure it out. You pay him a raise, whatever. And you come back into the season with your starting quarterback. Like, that to me was ideal. But I think you were going to ask about how the fans took it. And just really the entire journey, I think, has been probably a shock to Big Nick and the Iamaliava camp. I think they kind of thought Tennessee fans would be like in the camp of pay Nico what he wants because we don't want to lose him. But on Thursday, Mike, as soon as it came out that we were having contract negotiations, a lot of people already jumped on the bandwagon of, I'll help him pack his bags, hit the road. He's already overpaid. He doesn't need more money. See ya. Not that good. And that momentum really got rolling, man, and it really spilled over, you know, throughout that evening. And then, of course, Friday when he skips practice. You know, that was an act of war. You know, on the show I've called, you know, Big Nick's tweets and maybe whoever leaked it to, you know, Nakos, those were acts of aggression. Like, if you're in a bar fight, that's a push. But, like, whenever you actually don't show up to practice, that's a punch in the face. That's an act of war. And Tennessee responded immediately by pretty much telling Chris Lowe, like, hey, no, it was an unexcused absence. We expected him at practice, a.k.a. he's gone AWOL. In the past, I think the team, the program, everyone involved with it would have covered for him. Would have been like, hey, yeah, we know we have mutually agreed to like stay away from each other until we figured it out. Or, oh yeah, he had something doing. It was treatment. It was a medical thing. It was this, it was that. But no, Tennessee came out immediately. I was like, nope, unexcused absence. We were surprised. He was supposed to be here. And that's when I started telling everybody in my life, like, he's gone. There's no coming back from that once Tennessee decided they weren't covering for him anymore. And, you know, the fans were done with him. Maybe, you know, a good portion on Thursday night, but really, by the time he had missed practice, it was over. It was a wrap. Mm-hmm.
And I know we always say, feels like 98. I mean, there's even more parallels with Peyton gone, Nico gone. Not that Nico's anywhere close to Peyton, but...
At one time, I hoped he was going to be. At one time, Mike, I thought I hoped he was going to have a similar impact. You know, not to cut you off, but I hoped he was going to be a guy that was going to come here, win a bunch of games, and then go to the NFL and represent you there as a really good high draft pick for 10, 15 years and kind of bridge that gap. But those dreams are dead.
Right. But is there any chance that this is like a rallying cry and then that Tennessee is even better now given this whole ordeal?
No, I mean, I'm sure you've heard of the Ewing theory. You know, Bill Simmons talks about that all the time in basketball, where you kind of lose a superstar that maybe isn't the best for winning, and everyone else kind of rallies behind him, and you actually get better. Like you were talking about with Peyton Manning, he leaves, and all of a sudden T. Martin's there, and the team overall, you know, maybe more focused and plays higher. Maybe got some lucky breaks along the way, too. But I think the fan base is galvanized. I think the team is probably galvanized. But, man, like, ultimately, I do think you have to have a quarterback that can play, and I'm not positive Tennessee has one of those right now. Like, I know Merklinger kind of got some praise during the offseason, but I maintained the entire time that I thought that was more of a, hey, we're going to throw this guy a bone. We're going to talk about him improving so he doesn't transfer, so that we don't have a true freshman in George McIntyre as our only backup in case Nico gets hurt. It was a, hey, Merklinger fixed his grip, throwing the ball a lot better. Hey, he's playing really well. You know, like, good job, buddy. Stay in the program, and then, you know, maybe transfer out next year if you have to, but, like, don't leave. I don't think it was really like, hey, Jake Merklinger is improving. He's ready to be a high quality, high caliber SEC starting quarterback on a team. Let's face it, Mike, on a team that, you know, the goal is to make the college football playoff again in 2025. Now, whether or not they can do it, you know, the schedule a little bit tougher this year than it was last year when you just have Alabama and Florida both on the road. A little bit tougher, but still set up to win 10 games or at least compete to win 10 games. But you got to have a quarterback that can help get you there. And for as bad as Nico was at times last year, I do still think he made plays in some big games to help you win 10 games. I'm not going to say he's the reason you got to the playoff, obviously, but I don't think you could have just had any quarterback back there doing it last year.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is the best case here for Tennessee? Is it that some elite quarterback jumps into the portal and now he's Tennessee's, that's a strength again? Or could it even be, as strange as this may sound, them to add a quarterback? Because I think it'll be, you know, like a... I think they'll add someone where fans are like, I don't know about that guy, but they'll buy themselves into it. But then Jake Merklinger beats him out and is proven to be the better quarterback. Is that the best case scenario at this point, you think?
That is the 2.6 to 4 point, you know, however many million dollar question, whatever the NIL package is. In terms of elite quarterbacks, I think you can rule that out. I don't see any elite quarterback, you know, coming. Now you could say an upper tier, a top half Big 12 quarterback, like any of those guys we mentioned earlier, like those guys are solid and I would take them. But I don't consider them elite. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that in terms of, you know, Robertson and Johnson and all those guys. Like, they're good, but I don't view them as elite. Option two is Nico comes back, you know, hat in hand, breaks down in tears in front of the team and apologizes and says, hey, I messed up. Hey, my dad got in my head and he's going to stay away and I don't want to go to UCLA or have to go to like Liberty or any of these other small schools and play. Like, I'm sorry. Like, let's just get back. Let's be us again. I'm sorry. I'll quit texting those girls. I'll quit doing this. Like, I'll be better. I promise. Like, that maybe is option two, although I view that as far-fetched and unlikely. Option three, you take a depth guy like you're talking about. Is it Max Wright? Sorry if I forgot the first. Wright from Northwestern. You know, he's an Atlanta kid. He was at Vanderbilt. He was at Mississippi State. Yeah. He just entered the portal. Like, you bring him in as a depth piece. Maybe Max Johnson, who, you know, went from A&M to North Carolina. Like, maybe he's there as a guy to challenge the quarterbacks. But if that were to be the case, the only way it would salvage things with me and maybe with the a good portion of the fan base would be, like, you have the depth piece there. You have the veteran quarterback as a backup. And then you just go with George McIntyre. Tennessee kid, young, talented freshman, much higher ceiling as far as I'm concerned than Merklinger. And you just try to roll that out there and see what you could do. Now, of course, there'd be some residual spillover with Faison Brandon in the next class, you know, one of the top quarterbacks. But if you're hypeable, you just kind of got to keep this thing afloat. Because I do think, Mike, when Nico left, there's a chance this is a disaster for both sides. Like, there's a chance that Tennessee now all of a sudden goes from, hey, 10 wins in playoff to, can we get to 7? Can we get to 8? I do think that's on the table, and that's a scary thing for, I think, Heupel to be in.
Yeah, Mike Wright, I don't think he's your answer at quarterback, but he would probably be the fastest player on the field. Like, he's that fast. I think Tennessee could use him in some capacities, so that he'd be an interesting name. But speaking of Nico, I mean, this has got to be the worst fumbled bag in college sports history, wouldn't you think?
I mean, the only thing that comes to mind is like Jimmy Clausen not going pro early when he could have, or maybe it wasn't him that could have went pro early, but like basically it ruined his stock by the time he got out of school. I can't remember if he was a four-year guy or not, but like, you know, I think of Mark Sanchez going from first overall, but he only fell to like 6, I think. And, you know, Jake Locker did the same thing where he went from number one overall pick to like 10th. Like, so we've had some guys drop and cost themselves probably more money when you look at it that way. But in terms of like self-inflicted wound, man, like, this is bad. And I tweeted it out, you know, JON2_Reed on Twitter, if you want to follow me. But I tweeted it out on Friday or Saturday. Like, they might make more money in the transfer portal. Because at that time, you thought maybe somebody's going to give them $3 million or so. Like, maybe they get a little bit of a raise. But you can't put a price tag on turning your son into a national punchline. And like, Nico has been the guy they've been showing in every article. It hasn't been his dad. It hasn't been his handler. It's been Nico. They're using his stats to diminish his talent. they're using his picture to show him his face as the guy that no one wants. Denied by Bill Belichick and UNC. Tulane said thanks, but no thanks. You had the other report from On3, who I imagine is doing a pretty good victory lap right now. They're going to get every little piece of Nico news they could get. But like, hey, there are some teams interested, but only at $1 million, only at a reduced cost. Like, you drop that price tag, you might find a home. And, you know, like, that's Nico's face getting shown. And that's without even thinking about down the line, Mike. Like, in the NFL, like, that's going to be the first question that probably gets asked anytime he interviews with the team. If he even can play his way back into being a prospect. Like, when you look at where we were at this time last year versus now, it's possible he's cost himself $300 million. By not being good enough last year at Tennessee to now, like, you know, maybe not even being good enough to play, or at least, you know, worth the headache to get at a program that can get him in the NFL. Because, like, this time last year, Mike, he was, a top five quarterback in terms of his class, in terms of his projection. He was a projected first-round pick. Everyone thought, hey, Tennessee's going to play him for 2 years. He'll go be a first-round pick. And, of course, if you're a franchise quarterback, that second contract, that's, you know, it's getting up there to $300 million. Now, at this point, what percent do you give him of ever, like, being a significant starter in the NFL? 10%? 5%? It feels a lot lower. Maybe it's a little bit higher than that, but it feels a lot lower now than it has, you know, a calendar year ago.
Right. And not to be like, you know, too, I don't know if the word hokey or, you know, this is professionalized sports. It's been that way for a long, long time. And I got no problem with players getting paid or anything like that, but kind of going back to how we started, you know, where there was criticisms of Nico that were kind of kept quiet. Why weren't you saying that before? But I'm hearing a lot from people that, you know, he didn't really understand what it meant to be the quarterback at Tennessee and all that came with that. And not that's a big deal or anything, but I think what kind of proves that is I don't think that they had their eye on his legacy and everything that would have went with it had he stayed at Tennessee and had a solid season, and just how he would have been viewed in Knoxville with, you know, they have rooms dedicated to Peyton Manning. There's just so much that will do for you after football.
Josh Dobbs can walk into Knoxville and get whatever he wants.
Right.
And like, he wasn't a top end talent, but like, he did things the right way and he kind of understood what it meant to be the Tennessee quarterback. I know you went with Peyton, of course, that's the apex, but like, there's a pretty big, you know, pretty big gap. You could just come here and be Hendon Hooker and right. Maybe never play in the NFL at all, really. But like, be liked, show that you care, be happy to be in Knoxville, and just shake hands, sign autographs, do TV appearances. Like, I'm sure you've heard the same things, but like, they could barely get him to do TV. His family allowed no access in terms of any interviews. And like, they had to basically pull his teeth to try to get him to show up at these NIL things. Like, I think they thought, hey, NIL money means I just give you money. You don't have any type of obligation. But like, some of these businesses that are helping fund this are like, hey, we need you to come do some appearances. We need you to come sign some autographs. We need you to spend some time with the kids. We need you to do this, this, and this. Show up at a football camp. And just, you know, everything behind the scenes says he had zero interest in that. And it was always, here's what I was told. It was always, hey, he would come to a place. If we asked him to do something, he would immediately call his dad. His dad would cuss us out and say he doesn't have to do any of that. Nico goes home. That's what I told the cycle was whenever he had to show up these appearances. Basically, they weren't allowed to ask him to do anything. And if he did, he'd call Papa Bear. Papa Bear would show his teeth, show his ass, and then they would, go home. So like, what you're saying is exactly right. Like, I don't think they ever understood what they were getting into in terms of being the face of a program at a place like Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. And is that worth, turning your back on it? I'm not saying that's worth $2 million for the next year, but I think for the rest of his life, it could have been worth a lot more than that.
At least goodwill, man. Like, maybe not more money, Mike, but like, at least you could walk in places and have a home. You know what I mean? Like, you know, have somewhere that rolls the red carpet out for you. Like, you know, like I said, Josh Dobbs, I've seen him in Knoxville. Like, he's loved. Like, he's good. He's stamped. When Hendon Hooker comes back, he's stamped. Like, you don't have to even be that great of a player. Just come here, play hard, say that you're a Vol for life, say you love the Vols, and that's pretty much all you have to do. And yeah, like, I mean, he's that bridge is burnt. I mean, like, yeah, like, there's no home there for him at all when it comes to coming back to Knoxville.
All right, last thing for you, John. Really appreciate your time. But, you know, is it fair to say Josh Heupel's never been more popular on Rocky Top than he is right now? And how long does that goodwill last if Tennessee takes a big step back on the field this fall?
I can't say yes to that, Mike. He was pretty damn popular when we beat Alabama in 2022. That next week after that, the cigar smoking and everything, he could have done anything in Knoxville. But, I mean, like, he has gotten a lot of respect locally and, of course, nationally, just for kind of being the guy to stand up to these demands. And whether I don't think it's that simple. Like, I don't think Heupel was the one ultimately like, kind of making those calls. But, like, it did buy him goodwill. People have a pretty high approval rating of Heupel. You know, some nitpicking in the offseason of, like, hey, you're really not going to change any of your coaching staff? Like, really? Like, we're just going to kind of keep promoting from within or bringing in your former Oklahoma players, your Oklahoma buddies to, like, be a part of the staff? Really? Like, that's what we're going to do? But, like, you can look past that. I mean, those are small just talking points. Like, overall, his approval rating, you know, in the upper 80s, low 90s. Now, will that sustain if Tennessee goes 7-5 and the offense doesn't look good? You'll see that drop a bit. But no, I mean, Heupel, you hopefully see a fire lit under him as people are kind of talking about the scheme and talking about Nico's quarterback play. And hopefully you kind of see him kind of get rejuvenated and come back with a better offense. Because also, on the other hand, I don't think Tennessee's defense is going to be as dominant, you know, in 25 as it was in 24. So I think you're going to have to score some more points.
Yeah, and you just made me realize the only thing that can make Nico look worse now is if the offense is better without him. I mean, then it's a total catastrophe, you know what, for him.
Especially if it's, yeah, with somebody already on the roster, you know, with Merklinger or McIntyre.
Merkslinger, they're calling him, right?
If he comes out there slinging, or if you take just some, you know, some, like I said, just some average to, you know, good quarterback in the Big 12, and he comes in and looks like Hinton Hooker, and all of a sudden the deep balls are getting hit. That would make Nico look bad, but I got to say, Mike, I don't know how much worse he can look at this point. Like, it's about rock bottom.
Yeah.
It's about rock bottom. And, like, I said it today, this morning, like, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he just sits out a year. Like, they just, like, don't go to the group five, don't go to a bad situation and try to, like, just disappear and maybe train and maybe come back to football next year, go to the draft or whatever. But, like, it's gotten that bad where I'm not even sold that he even plays football next year.
Wow. All right. Well, John Reed, we appreciate you for this busy time joining us. This man even went home to grab his camera. He's that dedicated to doing this appearance.
I got me a TV light in here and everything. Like, I got the light set up. I look very bright in here. Bald head is shining.
I'm getting flashbacks to Pruitt. But before you go, tell my audience, how can they follow you and how can they find the show?
You're going to go to Apple Podcasts. You're going to go download the Fan Run Radio app. All right. And every day, 7 to 10 a.m., all right, me and my friend Cody, we talk Vols. We talk a lot of other sports too. All right. And yeah, just like I said, on Twitter, JON2_Reed, follow the station as a whole. Fox Sports Knox, we've been doing a great job of covering this. FanRunRadio.com, all those things. And then, yeah, hit us up on the socials as well. Mike, I'm proud of you and everything you've grown over there at your podcast. Every time I see you on FineBomb, I don't think we've ever really met in person, but I love rooting for your success and our friendship that we've developed, you know, just digitally. So keep crushing it, and I appreciate you having me on.